What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher. Hope you guys had a happy New Year's. Hope you guys enjoyed the weekend. Obviously, Tennessee just curb stomped Iowa 35-0. Not a surprise that Iowa had a little bit of a struggle to find defense, or offense rather. But, you know, Iowa's defense was hailed as one of the best in the country, and Tennessee was still able to manufacture 35 points, and they pitched a shutout. Got some key players that we'll highlight from that game. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the playoffs a little bit. Looking forward to the basketball team getting into conference play, so a lot of good stuff coming up. But really diving into that Iowa game first, you know, like I said, 35-point win, a shutout. Anytime you can pitch a shutout to a team that's, you know, obviously it's Iowa and they struggle with offense, but not only did Tennessee pitch a shutout, they also beat Iowa by the largest margin of a score that anybody did all year. So, you know, I'm sure that they have their opt-outs or whatever, just like any other team, and that's great. But it doesn't change the fact that that's what happened. Just like how Georgia beat Florida State does not change the fact that Georgia beat them 63-3. You know, Georgia had a lot of people transfer out too. People don't talk about that. But, you know, they came up ready to play. Florida State didn't. Tennessee came ready to play. Iowa didn't. So, you know, it was one of those performances that's, you know, it left some to be desired, but you did what you needed to do. You got the win, and it was big. So, obviously, you know, Nico won the MVP of the game, or whatever they called it, cheesiest player of the game. I don't know, but he was the MVP. More or less, completely earned it. The only guy I thought might have been up for it would have been James Pierce, because when you record a sack, a forced fumble, and a pick six all in the same game, you know you're doing something right. So, like I said, a lot to unpack, but we'll start offensively. Nico, he's, you know, the big talking point. That's what everybody was looking at. He finished 12 of 19, 151 yards, had one passing touchdown, obviously had several rushing touchdowns. Had three rushing touchdowns to be exact. He only had 27 yards on the ground, but of course, you know, in college, sacks do take away from the rushing yard total, so keep that in mind as well. Otherwise, that would have looked a lot more impressive too. But you know, he looked good. He just looked knowledgeable. He could make plays with his legs. He knew when to get out of the pocket. That's something that, you know, Joe Milton had shown signs of struggling with, and I think that should be just a huge, huge sigh of relief for Tennessee fans, because we've sat here and watched a sixth-year senior, and I'm not saying this to bash on Joe, but it's just fact. We sit here and watch a sixth-year senior go into the games and just not know when to go, not have the IQ, make bad reads, sit in the pocket too long, just not good. And when you get a sixth-year senior doing that stuff and showing that it's difficult for anybody. And then you get a freshman come in and do what he did. That is absolutely outstanding. And not only that, but he was under fire just about the whole game. And, of course, you know, Iowa, that's how they play. But Tennessee's offensive line did not hold up very well. So, again, we'll get into the offensive line. But overall, Nico, thought he did really well. Finished with a pretty solid stat line. A couple maybe freshman mistakes, but it's really hard to dissect what he did and be too disgruntled about anything that he did. Maybe a couple times that, you know, hit the hot dog man with it, you know, don't take a sack. But, again, he was just under relentless pressure, and he showed, you know, good guts to take some of those hits even and just not force a ball into bad, you know, double coverage or anything stupid like that. So, yeah, just overall really good from him. Then we look at the running back room. I was really impressed with the running back room on the ground. Dylan Sampson had 20 carries, 133 yards. That was good. Cam Seldon, 13 carries, 55 yards. That one was very impressive to me, because that's a guy that has not had really any playing time. And you get a guy like that come in and be able to run that way against a really solid defense, especially, you know, not taking a whole lot of the reps. Dylan Sampson took most of those. That was good to see. Khalifa Keith didn't get as many carries as what maybe we would have hoped. But, you know, when you got Dylan Sampson in there, it's kind of hard to do that. The one knock on Dylan Sampson, obviously ran the ball with intensity, broke tackles. He ran hard. He's quick, shifty. That's great. but you got to run block better, or pass block. As a running back, you've got to pass block better. There was a couple times that he just completely missed his gap where you at least need to bump your guy, kind of throw him off his blitz route a little bit, and it just didn't happen. And it happened multiple times. It was one of those things. It was very, very noticeable that he was just either not in the right position, didn't know which, you know, gap he needed to be covered. And, you know, that's part of that too, coming from a guy that's he's had playing time, sure, but he's not been asked to do that at a consecutive, you know, regular basis level, because he's not really gotten that much playing time. You know, he'd come in on a few drives here and there, but and in a lot of games he made an impact, but he really was not like that guy this year. So I expect that to improve, so nothing to be too concerned about, but it's worth noting. But Cam Seldon, he's got a really good size for a freshman. You know, I was looking at his size on ESPN. He's 6'2", 222 as a freshman. I mean, my goodness. And, you know, that's not to mention all the other talent they're going to have, too. You know, Khalifa Keith is good, big back. You got, you know, Deshaun Bishop. You got Peyton Lewis coming in. So, I don't know. Who knows what that rotation is going to look like? You got to imagine the talent level is going to be pretty similar. So, across the backs, so it's probably going to be a seniority thing, but overall, you know, I was impressed with the running back room. Next we had the receiving, not great. You know, there were some guys that made some good things happen, like Squirrel had some good yak, McCollin Castles with the touchdown catch for Nico, Caleb Webb had a couple good catches, Chaz Nimrod. Jacob Warren didn't really get involved, but, you know, he's not really been super involved all year. And then you had Ramel Keaton, just awful. Just I can't take it lightly. He's not going to be here anymore after this, so I'm not even going to hold back. That was just such a sucky performance. He led receiving, but that's partially because he's just the oldest out there, so you're going to get thrown to a lot because you're the trusted guy. And he made a couple good grabs, but it's inexcusable. Some of those mistakes, you know, running into the kick catcher on the punt, a couple of huge drops in there that would have been momentum swingers for Tennessee. They didn't really end up needing it, so didn't bite them. But that's the kind of crap right there that gets you beat when you're playing SEC games. So Ramel Keaton, horrible. And, you know, he's been that type of guy that he's not been very consistent. He's had good moments and big moments, but he's not been super consistent to where he's, you know, been able to take up and step it up a notch to the level of like a Jalin Hyatt or a Cedric Tillman. He's not replaced them. So, yeah, not too upset to see him leaving. And some people may take offense to that. That's fine. That's my opinion. I did not like what I saw from him. But we don't have to worry about it anymore. So, overall, a lot left to be desired. But I think the receiving room is going to be a lot different next year too. So nothing too crazy. And then lastly, the offensive line was just not good. And of course, like I said, Iowa did bring a ton of pressure. You know, that was their game plan. You know, just we got a freshman quarterback. We're going to try to rattle him, get to him, knock him down, kind of shake him up a little bit. And, you know, that they did. I mean, they did. But it didn't work good enough to actually keep them in the game, because your offense has to actually have a pulse for that to be effective. But, you know, It didn't really matter. They could have done whatever they wanted defensively and given Nico a hard time. And Tennessee could have only scored 7 points. They would have won the game. You know, they could have scored a safety and won the game. Iowa's offense is just so horrible. But, you know, given they are really bad, Tennessee's defense, you know, they were disruptive and they made it tough on them. So, you know, there were some bright spots offensively. There were some not good spots, like the offensive line is the biggest glaring issue to me. But again, a lot of guys that's not going to be in there next year. Some are, but you know, it takes an entire unit to make a solid offensive line. You know, that's why they're graded as an offensive line, like for the Joe Moore Award and stuff like that. They're not, you know, it's not a whole lot of individual awards. But yeah, you know, defense, great job. I thought everybody played pretty well moving around. Jalen McCullough had one of his best games ever, which is funny. And that was also, the game that made him – he played in the most games out of any Tennessee football player ever. which is pretty insane, but, you know, not too insane when you know he's been there for 7 years. So he's probably getting gray hair at this point, I guess. But, you know, some notable names to mention. Tyree West, he's going to be good. Continue to improve his game a little bit. James Pierce, obviously we already highlighted what he did. But you can't overstate enough how big of a – he's just a menace. He's just a menace. He's going to be trouble for people next year. Andre Turrentine with a big pick there. A couple pass breakups too. He looked good. Jordan Thomas made some big plays. Delivered some big hits. You know, the corners, not too bad. They really covered everything up pretty well. Because you could see, like, in those quarterbacks' eyes, they did not feel comfortable throwing the ball a whole lot down, especially not downfield. They had to take a lot of check down routes. Because Tennessee's defensive backs had everything covered up pretty well. Linebackers weren't horrible in coverage. But, again, you know, that's an area that they're going to have to get better. But overall, pretty solid just as the unit. Punt returns, you know, that special teams phase wasn't largely important. Wasn't super great, but, you know, it is what it was. But yeah, overall, it's a very solid game. Really good way to end the season, and a great way to introduce Nico in his first ever start. So a lot to be looking forward to next year. Now, getting into next year, some news related to football. Just came out today. Gay Judy Lawley is declaring for the NFL draft. So you got, that's another guy that you're not going to have out there next year. So you're going to have, you know, just another reason they're going to have a lot more young guys step up. You know, I believe Jermaine McCoy is probably going to come in and play, but he's still a young guy. I know he's a transfer guy, but he's a young dude. And they got, you know, there's still an opportunity for them to pick up somebody maybe via transfer portal or what have you. But, you know, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty young group overall for Tennessee, and that's fine. And as a matter of fact, I'm still, like I've been saying, I'm excited about that because I think that some of these veterans they were keeping in there just because they were quote-unquote vets and had experience, I think that was a little bit of a hindrance to them. And I think that some of these young guys are ready to go. You know, there's going to be some, you know, kind of rookie errors and some mistakes in there. But, you know, you can work those out early in a season. And Tennessee, you know, the meat of their schedule comes a little bit later on the back half of the schedule. So, shouldn't be a problem. I expect them to work out some of those kinks and just get better as the season keeps moving. But, yeah, so going to be interesting there to see what happens with the DBs. And then some probably the biggest news that we'll hear, some of the biggest news anyways that we'll hear from here on out till next year, and could be super impactful for a guy like Nico just to have this weapon back. Brew McCoy is coming back. And that is just, it's awesome. You know, I kind of figured that something was going to happen because I read earlier today that, you know, Tennessee has stopped pursuing Evan Stewart. So we kind of, you know, kind of had that picture in your head of, you know, big talent like Evan Stewart. That's kind of a, you know, an emergency plan. If you don't have somebody like Brew, if Brew's not coming back, then we need somebody like Evan Stewart to come in and be able to, you know, kind of take those reins, be a, you know, a physical, fast receiver with good hands. But, you know, now it doesn't really matter because we got Brew back, and I think anybody would take Brew McCoy over pulling in some guy that we're going to have to pay a boatload of money just to keep him happy, and a guy that's tweeting out about his mental health. Just kidding. I'm not making fun of mental health. But, you know, I mean, there's actually a little bit of something there. Not being derogatory to him. If he actually has mental health issues, then whatever. But Evan Stewart was tweeting today about, you know, kind of taking shots at A&M, saying that hopefully where he goes has a good, you know, reputable staff and, you know, better people that care about your mental health or something along those lines. And, I mean, if he's got issues, do you really want to invite drama in and, you know, issues that he's got? It's kind of like marrying into a, you know, a girl. You could find a really nice girl. If you marry into the family that's got a ton of baggage, you're going to have to live with that baggage the rest of your life. And I don't know if Josh Heupel wants that baggage next year. You know, you don't want a guy to come in and bring some baggage with him. And I'm not saying that's what's going on, but if you give me Evan Stewart, that's just another reason. If you give me Evan Stewart versus Brew, I'm taking Brew, so I'm happy. But, yeah, overall, super, you know, just excited about everything. You know, some of the people coming back, especially on the offensive line, kind of, you know, bridge the gap for the next generation to come up and finally start playing. But, you know, a lot to be excited about there. So, really good time for the Vols. We're officially into the offseason fully. So we'll see, as you know, if any roster changes are made, and, you know, probably not a ton, but there could be staff changes made. You just don't ever know. So we'll keep our eyes peeled, kind of, you know, keep head on a swivel, and we'll, you know, talk about news as it, you know, as it comes out and we learn this stuff. But as of right now, that's what we're looking at. So that is the latest with them. Basketball team, they open up play against Ole Miss, who is undefeated. So, you know, that can be a little bit intimidating, just knowing that you're going to play a team that's undefeated for your first conference game. But I don't think – this is not the type of team with some of the talent that they faced early in the season. I don't think they're too worried about Ole Miss. No offense to Ole Miss, because I'm sure they're a fine basketball team. But you haven't really played anybody, and you're undefeated because of that just soft, cushiony schedule. Whereas Tennessee has just been thrown into the gauntlet, straight into the fire as soon as the season started. So, you know, it's going to be tough for Tennessee it's going to be easy for Tennessee to kind of keep a good head on their shoulder and know, like, oh, we're all right. We've been here before. This is nothing new. So I don't think the challenge is going to be too much for them or anything like that. But, you know, Ole Miss can shoot the ball well. They can move the ball around. We're not going to dive super deep into the stats, but, you know, I think Tennessee coming into the new AP poll being ranked fifth, I think that should speak volumes in and of itself of how confident some people are with Tennessee and, you know, what they're going to be bringing to the table going into the rest of the season. I mean, you know, they put Tennessee ahead of Kentucky. Kentucky fans are losing their minds over it. And like, a number really matters that much. We're one spot ahead of you. But, you know, Kentucky fans lose their minds because Tennessee moves up one spot ahead of them. And Tennessee's got one more loss than Kentucky, but Kentucky lost to a freaking Pee Wee League rec team. So, you know, Tennessee lost to three top 25 teams that were all super, super good. So, you know, I'm not mad. And two of them was in Maui. So, I'm not sweating it. So, it's a little bit too early to panic. It's definitely too early to, you know, get too crazy and just hang up the hat. But, you know, Tennessee had a good win today, actually, over Norfolk State. Norfolk State, obviously not a lot of competition there, but, you know, still, anytime you get a win, getting that win column, that's good. So, big win. Cruising into conference play this weekend. It's going to be Saturday, I believe 6 o'clock Eastern time is the game. So, if you don't have plans, get ready to bunker down and get fully invested with basketball now since the football season's over. It's kind of that time where everybody starts to watch basketball a little bit more now, because before you had, you know, just recently all the bowl games were going on and you still had some football games, you know, going back to November. And a lot of times this part of the year, you know, the teams don't really play a whole lot of competition. I mean, there's been some good basketball games, don't get me wrong, but for most of the games on a game-to-game basis, especially most of Tennessee's games, it's going to be talent that's not necessarily anything to write home about. So a lot of people are going to be watching right now. A lot of people don't know a whole lot about Dalton Kincaid. They just know, they hear that, you know, big white boy can score. So a lot of people may be thinking, oh, we got a new Folky or something like that. But, you know, Dalton Kincaid, he's a dude. He's a bucket. He can play some defense. But my thing with Tennessee is I think the biggest thing with this team, deeper than any stats we can get into or anything else, as they move into conference play, they're going to have to find that lineup. Like, if they need to get some points, that they can get those guys out there on the floor, you know, comfortable in the last 5 minutes of the game, in the first 5 minutes of the game, that they know if, like, it's crunch time, we got to get the five in there. They need to find that rotation. I still think that they're kind of scrambling. I think they mostly have got it. I think it's probably Kincaid, Vescovi, Zakai Ziegler, Jonas Adu, and Josiah Jordan James. You know, because you got some veterans in there. you have some of the new talent, and a lot of people that can score points right there. So I think that's your five. But at the same time, you got to weigh in, you know, at the end of the game, if you need to make, you know, some defensive plays, does Tobey Awaka get in there? You know, if you want someone with confidence to go start shooting, taking some, you know, taking some shots, maybe Jordan Ganey gets in there some. You know, really strong defense, big hands, big wingspan. You know, Jemiah Mashak may get in there. So there's a lot of options, and that's a good problem to have. But I think Tennessee really needs to bunker down and find who they are really comfortable with in those moments, because it still seems like there's just times where, you know, the scoring droughts come, and they're always going to happen, and everybody goes through them, but they sure do linger for Tennessee sometimes. And that's the only thing with this team is it's you wouldn't think if we ever had a Tennessee team susceptible to it, you would not think that this would be the team that would really struggle with the scoring droughts, but they do. But, you know, they can score so quick that a lot of times they can overcome those scoring droughts and they don't end up mattering that much. You know, they had several scoring droughts against Norfolk State, and, you know, they still ended up winning and scoring over 80 points in that game. So, you know, I don't – and Tennessee, of course, too. They're not one of those teams that they don't have to score 100 points a game to be able to beat the teams they're playing. They play sound, fundamental defense, and that's the style of ball they play. So, still, that's the only thing. If I had to harp on one thing with this team, is just find your comfortable rotation, figure out who you want for sure in those moments, and when you got someone coming off the bench, you know, make sure they know their role, that they're ready to go, because sometimes you get guys come in, sometimes they come right back off the floor because Barnes ain't happy with what he sees. And it's just a little concerning because it shouldn't be happening this time of the year probably. At this point, you should have a lot of this stuff worked out. And again, I think they do at this point. I'm more or less just trying to find something to gripe about. Because, you know, we got to complain about something. We're Tennessee fans, for crying out loud. We got to complain. But, yeah, so exciting stuff going on. Basketball team looking, you know, looking good right now, looking strong. Number five team in the AP poll. Football team, big win. Some other teams cannot say that, though, in their bowl games. We look at our cohorts in Alabama. Neither team in Alabama actually did well in their bowl game. Auburn got hammered by Maryland. And Alabama, of course, lost in the overtime thriller against Michigan. And I want to talk about the playoffs a little bit because multiple reasons. One, if you don't know, Washington beat Texas. Great game. Michael Penix Jr. is the reason. Because he is just a stud. I mean, you know, they got a lot of good players like Odunze and everything else. Defense certainly didn't help him win that game. But Michael Penix Jr. just makes plays happen. And if you're a Tennessee fan and you've been on Twitter and everything else, you probably know, because I'm sure you've been reminded, that Michael Penix was committed to Tennessee. And he decommitted because when Jeremy Pruitt came on staff, he was told that he was not welcome at Tennessee, more or less, that he was not the right fit for Pruitt's system. I don't know what Pruitt's idea of his system was, you know, let's rotate Brian Maurer and Jarrett Garantano, JT Shrout. I don't know what was going through his mind, but Penix is a talent. He's super good. He's highly skilled, big guy, relatively big guy, and, you know, good IQ, good vision of the field. He's one of the all-around best quarterbacks I've seen in a while, in my opinion. That dude, I think he's going to be playing on Sundays for a long time for somebody. And I hope he's wearing two-tone blue in Nashville. But, you know, he's a baller. You just got to call it what it is. He's a baller. And Tennessee definitely missed out on one right there. But, again, if you have Michael Penix, then, you know, do you get the Hendon Hooker story and all that good stuff? And the only thing that I can think is that maybe we'd bypass the Joe Milton story if you had somebody like Michael Penix. But, you know, then there's a situation where maybe what if Joe Milton transferred in and Tennessee never picked up Hendon Hooker? So just a lot of what ifs. So I think it all worked out for the best for everybody. Michael Penix, obviously successful. But it's just one of those things. It just kind of just nags you a little bit. It just kind of eats at you. Just knowing that you had a coach come from Alabama. And it just seems like everything he did was to try to sabotage you. So, I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, he did come from Bama, and he lives in Alabama now. So anybody, if you're, you know, ever going out and you need somewhere to roll somebody or throw eggs at somebody's house, Jeremy Pruitt's your guy. Please hit him up. But yeah, he's a, you know, he's a clown, but the biggest clowns is Alabama. I picked Michigan to win, let the record show. And as the game went on, I was growing wary of my pick. I honestly thought Alabama was going to win that game. Because Michigan's offense, oh boy, it's rough to watch. It's a hard sight to see. But, you know, Blake Corum is a really talented running back. You know, Donovan Edwards is a good two-punch as well. And J.J. McCarthy just struggles. I mean, he made some plays happen when he needed to. Give him credit. Whew, but boy, he struggles. And, you know, people call me crazy because there's a lot of people that, you know, they're just SEC in bowl season. I don't get that, and that couldn't be further from me. I'm, you know, I don't want my rivals to do well. I don't care if it's Vanderbilt. They would never make a bowl game, but I don't care if it's somebody even as small as Vandy. Like, I'm not rooting for nobody. Why would I do that? It just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I was rooting for Michigan. I will not be rooting for them in the national championship because they're a bunch of cheaters. But, you know, I wanted them to beat the Gumps. I can't help that. And they did. And it was nice to see them disappointed. It was nice to see Jalen Milroe hanging his head low, especially after just those – just the wild comments he said about the Heisman. Like, give me that MF and Heisman. It's like, dude, come on, man. If anybody should be saying that, it is not you. Boy, it's just – he was an odd character, you know. At times he seems like a really good stand-up guy, and then at times it's like he, you know, had been hanging around Jermaine Burton too long. But there was a lot of really good moments in those games, and I enjoyed the games, you know. Although Tennessee wasn't in them, with an expanded playoff next year, who knows what we could be looking at. So always try to keep up with it, even if Tennessee's not involved. And it's just some really good games to watch. And I think Washington, Michigan is going to be good. It's hard to pick away from Michigan just because Michigan is such a, you know, such a powerhouse team. And they, you know, they recruit so well. They've got, you know, a lot of talent. They've certainly probably got, like, on paper, you know, sheet wise, they probably got more talent than Washington. But man, if Washington doesn't have more heart, I don't know. Just that's a team. They're just scrappy. They will not lose. They won't lose. They would just win a lot of tough, really close games. And a lot of it's because of Michael Penix. So barring some injury, I really just don't know if I don't know if Michigan can slow down Washington's offense, in my opinion, because Washington's offense is just that high powered. Yeah, they really take it to the next level. So I think my pick is gonna be Washington for the national championship. I think that'd be really cool to see. I would, you know, love that for Michael Penix. Feel like I owe him that honor to root for him. Kind of an honorary volunteer, if you will. Plus, you know, I like Huskies, so whatever. But yeah, it's a, you know, end of the football season. It's a little bit bittersweet, but I don't know about y'all. I'm glad the season's over to a certain extent, because I mean, I'm excited for all the other sports that we got coming up. But I'm excited to see what this team does and how they grow, and how Nico improves with time too. So only good things from here. You know, it can't get any worse. I mean, I guess it could, but I wouldn't expect that to happen. So we will catch you guys next time. We'll be talking about some other stuff, probably talking more about basketball. We're going to really start deep diving into basketball. We're going to start unpacking some stuff with baseball and all that good stuff. So, you know, stay tuned. If you're only a football guy and you don't want to listen, that's fine. But I would still encourage you, if you're not a big baseball guy, if you're not big into basketball, these are some good times to really start watching. If you've been unsure, if you even would be interested, or if you just, you know, like, oh man, I'm just so tired of seeing my heart broken by Rick Barnes and, you know, getting beat by Florida Atlantic in the postseason, then, you know, this could be a good year for you to tune in. And, you know, start out slow. Start out with games like this where it's, you know, against Ole Miss, where it's, you know, getting an opportunity to knock off an undefeated conference opponent, but it's not anybody that's a, you know, gargantuan giant that you can't beat. And with a baseball team, just start watching them, man. It's just a lot of fun. So huge advocate for that. And if you do enjoy those things, come on here and listen to me ramble about it, because I love watching it all. So I'd appreciate if you don't mind, just leave a little rating on the podcast too. That's something that I know that'll help actually grow the podcast, reach more people. So if you could give it 5 stars, if you do feel so inclined, that'd be awesome. Refer it to your friends, you know, tell them to leave a rating. I'll probably think of something special to, I'm not really prepared for that, but I'll think of something special. You know, if you submit a 5-star rating on your Apple podcast or whatever, and you screenshot it, send it to me on Instagram or Twitter or something, maybe we can get you, you know, a t-shirt or something. So I got some t-shirts probably that'll be coming out before too long too, so that'll be cool. But yeah, like I said, appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to, you know, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Big Orange Buzz, Twitter at Big Orange Buzz _. If you do leave a review, let me know, because I'd appreciate just knowing. And just know I will try to, you know, do my best to get you something, you know, like a t-shirt, like I said, or something along those lines for leaving a good review, because that would be greatly appreciated. But we'll catch you guys on the next episode later this week. Hope this episode was fun. And maybe if you didn't know about some of the news like Brew McCoy and all that good stuff, hopefully you'll learn something. We will catch you guys next time. Go Vols.